and then Charlie just added to our manual. So, under incident objectives, obviously priority one, safety, and then priority two is monitoring. We already talked about that. Moving on to the next page, another requirement is priority three is confirming. I jumped ahead a little bit. Let me go back because there was an interesting sentence that I highlighted for monitoring, section C3, priority number two, monitoring, at the bottom of page 19. It says, there is no reason why a radio contact should go unanswered. I think that's really important. Is there's no reason why we shouldn't, if one of our net control operators tries to get a hold of us, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to respond instantly. And then the last one was monitoring. That was monitoring, and the reason that I'm getting lost is because I didn't move to the next page. Okay, and then last on the top of page 20, the next requirement of our minimum acceptable performance standards is that we always confirm. And it says no radio operator is permitted to change any aspect of their assignment unless they first obtain confirmed acknowledgement approving that change from their designated net control station. So again, even going to the bathroom, you pardon me, I'm leaving the net for 5 minutes. I'll be back in five. Okay, now we go to the next major section of requirements, instant mobilization nets. And guess what? A requirement, a resource net, we have it. Moving to on page 21, travel nets, we're doing it. Third requirement, staging nets, we're already doing it. Based on the material that we talked about in the prior class, is there anything missing here?
Quake net.
Right on. The quake net. Okay, that's a requirement that's not listed as a requirement in this document, but I believe since it's in our manual, it is part of our minimum required performance standard now.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay. Our next issue.
Our next issue.
Yeah, the update of the handbook, those pages will be in there. Well, that's presently not.
That's true. That is true.
And if we were in hurricane country, then it would be the hurricane net then.
Yeah, it could be the hurricane net.
Yeah, so, yeah. I guess that's a regional issue.
The good news is that you don't have to hear me talk through both an earthquake net, quake net, and a hurricane net. Okay. Now, that's the end of the activation. Is there anything else? There's another minimum acceptable performance standard activity that we do that I don't see listed here. Anybody? It's listed under forms, I think. I'm not sure it is. It seems to me this is the section of how we are operating, and key to that is how we activate and mobilize.
Well, the cell listing, the checklist?
Yeah, and I think that what should be listed here, not only QuickNet, but as part of operations, is the activation mobilization checklist process. It is a process, and there's a lot to it. We've seen that in the prior class. So, anyway, I think it's so important that it shouldn't merely be listed as a form. Because it truly is, it is part of operations. Okay, now, we're now on page 22. All right, we've got 10 minutes, we're going to make it. We're now on page 22 of 25. And there's a number of standard forms. We'll just quickly go through them. The ICS 211, ZR. Okay, that's the check-in, check-out form. We're all familiar with it. We signed it when we arrived at this class. We'll sign it when we leave. It's in our manual, section 5-26. Next is the ICS 213. The one we use most frequently is section 5-21. Okay, that's the ARIES version. Another requirement is the ICS 214. We're going to talk more about that, but that's section 5-27 of our manual. The vehicle safety inspection, we're doing that. That's 5-28. Now interesting one. On the page 23 of 25, section F2, medical reference form. Now this one we've not talked about. As I read through it, it says, if a participating member suddenly falls ill and is unable to speak or communicate, how will medical facilities know what if that person is taking prescriptive medicine or has some sort of allergy? Do they have insurance? And if so, through what company? And so forth. Now, we have an emergency number. Charlie knows that, you know, I think, in our manual. And you carry that. But I suggest that maybe this is something we need. But I would also throw out as a discussion item, is there an issue of confidentiality here?
Yeah. I was, before the confidentiality idea came up, I was thinking each of us should have, and I think it's in our checklist, to have emergency contact numbers with our gear. You know, I've got one in my clipboard, I've got one in my manual here. This information could be added to the bottom of that form, but then you get the confidentiality. Mm-hmm.
I think probably it shouldn't be in the manual, you know, because people might be very sensitive to the prescription drugs that they're taking.
Right. We should have that information on our person anyway. You know, yeah. My wallet, you should have your medical insurance card.
Yeah, but like allergies, I for one am allergic to sulfa drugs. Okay, now if we were working together and I got ill, that would be an important thing to know immediately.
But my insurance card lists my physician, and wouldn't the medical facility know to call my physician to find out what allergies I have?
Yeah, I think that it's neat to have the insurance card. The issue is we're talking about a standard across our organization. It seems to me we need to have something like this. What do you think, Charlie?
It's a tough one.
I think the invasion of privacy is a big issue.
You might get this some type of compliance issues depending on what you're putting in there. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see us requiring for you to supply your insurance information and.
Yeah, that's privacy. That's privacy. Yeah.
And like you mentioned, you know, if your doctor can't give your medical information to another doctor unless on the form you specified your doctor can't give it to the doctor.
That's right. It's a HIPAA. Yeah, so, okay.
That kind of blocks some of this.
So that blocks
it. Unconscious and an ER and they're working on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're allergic to sulfa drugs, they give yourself a tough line out.
Are they even prescribing sulfa drugs anymore still, or are they?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think
I don't know. I haven't tried it.
I didn't think that was
Like myself, I have my medical card, and I also have another card that has all of my medicines that I take.
Yeah, and I have the list in
and
my wallet.
Every time you go somewhere, what medicines are you taking?
Yeah,
you
pull out the crib sheet. Yeah, so. I think maybe in fact the decision here is that this is going too far for us, okay? And
I mean, the first thing, if paramedics roll, you get it, God forbid, you get else somewhere, and they roll, the first thing they do is they go for your wallet to see if you've got any information in there, and then they'll roll you to the nearest hospital, and then they'll look and they'll give them that.
Okay, so it's taken care of. Okay, well, we won't try to solve. We've got 4 minutes left. Resource stat, the restat report requirement, that's our in section 4-3 as a review. The field incident action report is now 5-31. So, and then the last one on the very last page is checklists. Now, I presume this is talking about the checklist for our Go Kit, and that's 5-30. So, that really covers the minimum required standards. I think that the bottom line to this whole document is the very first, the paragraph right under who's responsible for proficiency or meeting these standards. And it says the BCN defines proficiency as a radio operator's responsibility. So bottom line, each of us is responsible for meeting these. But I think you would agree we've got them all already in place. And most of this has been in place for a very long time. So now, we didn't really get into, I'm running a little bit behind, we didn't get into the steno pad, so we will cover that in Part B.
Part B will cover 1 through 18 and up to 53 next time.
Oh, of course. There's a lot of pictures here. Actually, we'll cover it. I got 1 minute. Okay. You can read through this material 1 through 18. But what we're talking about is that, well, maybe I can't rush it. As a review, the ICS 214 log has to be submitted to authorities. It's entirely possible that you will be responsible for the actions you take. Therefore, it's important that you document what you did, when you do it, and have a personal record so that if you're called into court to justify why you did or didn't do something and so forth, that you have it. And Wayne suggested in the pages 1 through 18 that one should have a steno notebook. And I happen to have one behind me here, and it's right here. And the idea is that you buy one of these steno pads with the spiral at the top, and therefore you can put it back here behind you and slide it in behind between your shirt and your pants and your belt, and it's out of the way until you need it. And what he says also is, as everything that happens for an incident, you jot down in your steno pad, and you start out with the day, the year, month, day, and then you create a chronology, time such and such happens, and what happened, and you just keep going. You keep on rolling the steno pad, and you keep on rolling it over. You don't write on the backside of a given page, but you flip it over like so and keep writing.